move to the third case this morning, In re Mississippi Valley versus J&R Farms.
Good morning. Bradley Cook. I'm appearing on behalf of Stephen G. Balsley, the Chapter 7 trustee for Mississippi Valley Livestock Debtor. This case involved an action by the Chapter 7 trustee, Mr. Balsley, to recover under Sections 547 and 548 of the Bankruptcy Code a series of payments in the total amount of $852,747.31 made by the debtor to J&R Farms within 90 days of the commencement of its bankruptcy proceeding. J&R Farms filed a motion for summary judgment with the bankruptcy court. The bankruptcy court did grant summary judgment, determining that the debtor, Mississippi Valley Livestock, did not have an interest in the funds paid to J&R Farms.
So, Mr. Cook, I have a question for you. Even if we were to agree with you that, maybe the bailment idea was wrong, there's an issue that's hanging out there that worries me. At page 14 of the appellee's brief, they say the trustee, which is to say your client, provided no evidence that the proceeds received by Mississippi Valley from the sale of J&R Farms cattle at Swift was used by Mississippi Valley to pay other creditors or was in any way used for the benefit of Mississippi Valley. So that led me to wonder whether there's evidence in the record that would show the balances, really tracing evidence is what I'm talking about, the balances in the bank account, whether the bank account ever fell below that $800,000+ that was paid, and whose burden it is. Is it the trustee's burden to provide the evidence about the amounts in the bank account, or is it the party that's looking for the constructive trust?
Your Honor, I would submit to the court that it's the burden of the party that's asserting a constructive trust or bailment theory to engage in tracing. And that's one of the points that was made by counsel for the trustee before the bankruptcy court and what was made before the district court, and frankly in our brief before this court, is that summary judgment in this case at this time was improper given the number of material issues of fact that remain certainly in doubt and many in dispute, including what you've just referred to.
So that's what worries me. Under this lowest intermediate balance rule, if the balance in the bank account ever fell below the amount of the payments, I'm forgetting the exact amount, it was about $850,000 or so. Suppose the balance fell down to $600,000. At that point, there would be a presumption that money that can't be traced to J&R was used to pay them, and there might be at least an opportunity for a partial avoidance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean,
did anybody ask for that evidence to be developed, and who had to ask?
The affirmative defenses were raised by J&R Farms, so it would have been their burden to establish the existence of a constructive trust or of a resulting trust, which they mm-hmm. raised by affirmative defenses. The bailment decision by the United States District Court, the finding of bailment, if you will, occurred kind of, for lack of a better word, out of left field. There was just a passing reference by the bankruptcy court to the word bailment, and then the district court determined that a bailment relationship did exist, which we respectfully disagree.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Mississippi Valley didn't pay for the cattle that they sold to, or that was sold to ADM or whoever it was. Did they?
Yeah, the agreement, if you will, that was reached between Mississippi Valley and J&R Farms, for whatever reason, Swift Conagra would not purchase livestock from J&R Farms. So Mississippi Valley Livestock and JNR Farms entered into an oral agreement to do, in effect, an end run and have Mississippi Valley sell livestock to Swift ConAgra. And the livestock that was sold to Swift ConAgra would include
They didn't tell Swift ConAgra that it was JNR's livestock.
No. And the livestock that was sold to Swift ConAgra included cattle owned by the debtor and cattle owned by JNR Farms.
But they did distinguish. I mean, how much the amount of money that's involved is not in question. It has to do for the cattle owned by JNR Farms, right?
Well, what happened was that the livestock was sold for slaughter to Swift ConAgra, and then Swift ConAgra, again, not knowing at all that JNR Farms existed, issued a single check payable to Mississippi Valley Livestock.
Determined so much a head or weight, or what was the...
Generally speaking, it's determined on weight, weight of the livestock. So single check made payable to Mississippi Valley Livestock, and then Mississippi Valley Livestock walked that check over and deposited it into its general business bank account.
And your point is that the amount that represented JNR's cattle is a subset of that overall check. The overall check covered Mississippi Valley's own stock, stock they may have purchased from anybody else, and the JNR.
Correct.
Okay,
so you had
part of it. It's a bigger check than what was going to go back to JNR.
Yeah, what you had in effect.
They commingled it, put it in their account.
Yeah, there was commingling.
Swift commingled it first.
There was commingling of cattle at the sale point to Swift, then commingling of funds by Swift because they didn't know of the relationship, and making the check solely payable to Mississippi Valley because that's who they were buying from, and then further commingling, taking that money and depositing it into the general business account with funds that Mississippi Valley received from other sources.
That gets back to my question of determining was by weight. Were you able to distinguish what cattle came from Mississippi Farmers versus JR, or were they all just fungible?
That's one of the missing items, if you will, in the record, is the sale information with respect to the sales.
The answer is no.
Pardon me?
The answer is no, you couldn't distinguish?
That's not in the record, Your Honor.
So the answer is no.
Correct.
As far as the record goes.
As far as the record is, correct. And that's another point that we've made in our brief, that summary judgment, it was premature, there were a number of issues.
If they had divided it up, then the buyer would have been tipped off that something was going on.
Exactly. So I'm already into my rebuttal time, so thank you.
Joseph Pfeiffer on behalf of JNR Farms. May it please the court, opposing counsel. This is a case of bailment, and it's a case where the judges below got it right. Judge Wood.
It very well may be de facto bailment, and obviously in Illinois it can be express or implied bailment.
That's right.
So I'm with you that far. But I am concerned about the state of the record. My biggest concern is on the tracing point, because obviously Mississippi Valley is a company that's in some financial difficulty. And if the balance in its general bank account ever went below $862,000, et cetera, then the lowest intermediate balance rule comes in, and we really cannot assume that all of that money was yours. The other creditors of the company have an interest. And it's my understanding under Illinois that it was JNR's burden to show the tracing. So you say the trustee didn't do it, true enough, but it wasn't the trustee's responsibility to do that.
It was my understanding that the trustee had the duty to put in the evidence it had. The trustee in this case was appointed in 2007, sued my client approximately 2 years later in 2009.
No, but I understand, but the trustee is saying I'm going to recover this avoidable preference. I'm going to try to avoid these payments. And it was your client who was raising a defense to the avoidance because, of course, it met all of the criteria, you know, the financial instability criteria and the number of days and the amounts of money and all the rest of it. You said, no, you can't do that because, A, there was a bailment, and, B, because of the bailment, we have an equitable right to this money, that it meant that actually it was never really yours. But the never really yours theory works only if the balance of the bank account was at all times above $862,747.31. And I don't see any evidence in the record that you introduced to show that.
There is no evidence in the record to do that, Your Honor. But to be more clear, since there were a series of checks and a series of transactions, there would literally have to be evidence on each and every transaction that occurred over a period of months.
Well,
not just one.
But what we know is during the what we need to look at is the preference period. And we know that this amount of money flowed out from Mississippi Valley to J&R during the preference period. And what we don't know is how many of those dollars really were a pass-through representing the value of J&R's own cattle. And as Judge Kaney's pointing out, you know, the record is very fuzzy on what the percentage weight is in these sales of the J&R cattle versus other cattle that Mississippi Valley is legitimately selling to Swift ConAgra. It's just, it feels like the whole story isn't here.
I understand, Your Honor. I can't address any more. There is what there is. The bankruptcy court had the record that it had, and it does not include the things that you have requested and are saying that should be there.
Did you have a balance, and then during this period of time, show the checks that were paid out of a balance or an incoming money, or how did it?
I have not seen any balance whatsoever or any of the bank statements, so I can't address that. I would like to address one of the other things you did say on how the cattle were dealt with. Since this was an order buyer, he went to sale barns, he bought cattle. Many times the cattle are identified by an ear tag, a metal ear tag, and that then goes on the bill of sale that they get from the sale barn, and then the sale barn will then identify those animals on an individual basis by tag number. So you can tell which cattle were J&R's cattle, which cattle.
That's how they worked it then in this case.
Well, that's how it is worked. I don't know specifically with every load of cattle.
It probably was worked then.
I believe it is. An example of that would be the proof of claim 6 by the Manchester Livestock Auction, which does show ear tags.
The ear tag. They list the ear tags.
They just listed a whole set of ear tags in that. And when they do that, then the packing plant will give you what's called a kill sheet. It will identify each and every animal and tell you how it graded, how it yielded, and what the price was for it. Because it isn't just weight. It's on quality, how good marbling and many
so
other
you
things.
You could trace your own cattle versus J&W.
Yeah,
and that evidence, all of that stuff is in the record that you're talking about?
That is not in the record, Your Honor.
It's not in the record. So
no,
you're relying on a rather high level of generality about ordinary practices in the trade.
That is exactly what I'm doing, Your Honor. And mm-hmm. I just happened to be looking at the proofs of claim last night and saw that specific evidence in there talking about ear tags and dealing with that. So that ends. Mm-hmm. Yep, there was a bailment, we believe. And I understand Judge Wood's concerns about the amount of the bailment and the question of lowest intermediate balance. And that's a tough question that I can't provide you any evidence because there's none in the record. We do believe that there was should be a constructive trust. We do believe there was a bailment. We do believe it's appropriate for this court to consider whether the judges below did the right thing. And we would urge that this be affirmed.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? You have 2 minutes, Mr. Cook.
I'll be very brief. Focusing on the points that Mr. Pfeiffer raised, his statements with respect, as the court noted, with respect to ear tags and weight and quality of of cattle and whatnot. That's all well and good, and that may be the general practice in the industry, but it's not in the record in this case. And for one of the major reasons that we're requesting this court, and not only is it under Illinois law, there could not have been a bailment here, number one, but number two, this case was just not proper for summary judgment. There's too many things missing in the record for the court to grant, for the courts to have granted summary judgment in this case.
The problem is if the practice in the industry is that is as it was described, and this is a sort of a gentleman's agreement, which is more maybe a little more apt to happen in this kind of agricultural business, you know, to require a trial is another way. But I understand your point that it maybe didn't meet the requirement for summary judgment.
That is correct. In this case, there's no evidence with respect to the balances and at the time payments were made to J&R Farms. There certainly was co-mingling, and I would respectfully suggest it was their burden, that is J&R Farms' burden, to establish its affirmative defenses. For the reasons we stated in our brief, we would request that this court reverse the decision and judgment of the United States District Court and remand this case back to the bankruptcy court for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel.